You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 35. My name's Turner Sparks.
My name is Kaplan. We're in a new demographic.
Boom, baby.
18 to 34 is a demo, and now, bam, 35 and up.
Yeah, so just, not canceled.
Not canceled, baby.
We're still on the air.
We're still here. People probably thought we were gone, but...
Can't take us down. Antoine Carr, Sacramento Kings, 35.
It's about time you did a basketball and jersey reference.
I'm there we go. The original big dog. You can find me on Twitter at Turner B. Sparks. You can find Kaplan at Cap in America. It's exciting.
That's me. I'm saving my voice, so...
That's
I don't want to plug myself too much.
Sir Michael Ira. So... Before we get going, June 21st, if you're in New York City, come to the New York Comedy Club to see my show with Gus Tate, Joe Schaefer, the whole gang. We're going to be out there doing the Kung Fu Comedy Show.
The Kung Fu Posse.
Kaplan's hanging out.
I think I'll be there. That's a Wednesday, right?
That's a Wednesday,
baby. No NBA draft. All right, I'm there.
Boom.
I commit.
And also June 14th, our guest coming up later, Storm Shu. Storm is a comedian I met years ago in Shanghai. He's from Shanghai. We started together at the Kung Fu Comedy Club out there. He's in New York right now touring. He's doing a bunch of shows around here. First time in America. So we're going to talk to him about being incredibly lost in America.
Well, I mean, this is episode 35 of a podcast that's sort of about China and America. And is this our first Chinese guest?
This is the first time we've ever had a Chinese person.
That's a little bit of a... There were some protests about that, I think, in the fan community.
Oh, they were... Yeah, I mean, the streets were going
cultural
bananas.
I was
getting stopped in the streets and when are you going to have a Chinese person? When are you going to have a Chinese person? You know.
We gave in to pit pressure.
So this is it.
This is our token.
Good job, political correct America.
You won this round.
So what we got close when we had Misha Han on. He was Chinese American.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you're more Chinese than him.
I think so too.
Great guess though, but
so that didn't count. Well, we have because you have a $1 billion idea.
Am
I correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, people are asking me about the $1 billion idea. We did it 1 week. We had a bunch of ideas.
I've had a few.
You've had a bunch. And then it's like I say to people.
I'm up to like $7 or $8 billion right now.
You can't have a $1 billion idea every week, because then it's not a $1 billion idea.
You gotta
have the special ones and use them.
What do you got?
And this idea came to me courtesy of someone I was talking to at a bar. I'm not going to give their name because I don't want them to steal my money. And if they don't listen to the podcast, tough on them.
Veteran move.
We need a Task Rabbit for dads. Dad Rabbit.
Wait, what?
Dad Rabbit. You know the app Task Rabbit?
No.
Okay, well, back it up.
What's that?
Task Rabbit's an app that people use now to like handy. They do anything. You could find like any handyman, hang stuff, fix this, do all sorts of things you might want to do.
Oh, it's an app, and you're like, I need
a painter. I need a gardener. I need this.
By 3 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah, and you find people in your area. And it's cheaper than hiring some guy who milks you because he knows you're not handy.
Yeah,
the person doesn't know your backstory.
Old man Johnson down the street might molest you on his way up the stairs.
Exactly. That happened to you too?
Oh my God! If I had a dollar for every time.
Oh, old man Johnson. So anyway, this idea came to me as for dads because like your kid wants to play catch. Everyone's like, I'd love to play catch with my son, but every freaking day. I mean, it gets tiring. You're like, you need a break on the weekends. Build Legos. You know, I like building Legos. I've talked about this before. I feel very accomplished. Putting together age five, my go-to demographic for Legos, like my go-to age is like the 5 to 12 one is a little tough. Yeah. 4 to 7, I dominate. I can put them in really fast. But I don't want to do it ever. It gets annoying after a while. He breaks it in like 5 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It goes up, it goes down. It goes up, it goes down.
And then he wants this. And I'm like, I just need a break. And to expand on it, I thought this was a $1 million idea. But then when I brought it to the next level
this
was...
where we go from million to billion?
Billion is the other day, Teddy says to me, when do I die? And I said, what? He's like, when do I know I'm going to die? He's 5.
Yeah.
He's asking me this.
So you want to bring in...
I want a TaskRabbit. It's not just physical labor. I want spiritual... you know, like someone who can answer the tough questions.
Yeah.
Because he goes... And
you want to bring in a reliever.
Reliever.
Like if you're a baseball coach.
And I start answering him with some BS. And he goes, and where do I go? Where do I die? Where do I go? And people, you know, my mom says, tell them your soul goes to heaven. I have trouble lying. I'm not a good liar. I don't know the
answers.
Not
only is this a good idea, but Kaplan, I got news for you. Yeah. I'll be the one to tell him where he's going to go when he dies.
Oh, you'll be the reliever.
Sign me up, baby.
I'll play Enter Sandman. You'll come in and be like, you're going to rot in a box, kid. Sorry.
Yeah. I'll be Wild Thing.
Because you want to give kids the truth in life, but it's hard as a parent. You don't want to break their little hearts about the world.
So you might as well let some weirdo.
Yes. As long as old man Johnson. Now, we'd have to screen out the pedophiles, of course. Assemblyman Kim is on the case.
Of course.
And, you know, I think we can make some money with this idea because people.
I'll be your old man Johnson.
Yeah, old man, yeah. And there is an app already. A Wags an app, and I shouldn't be plugging all these
don't
apps.
Plug
they're not
these
sponsors,
people.
But they do.
I'll edit that out.
Yeah, there are apps out there who might do like dog walking. You know what? Forget dog walking. Kid walking. Take
kid
my kid
walking,
out.
Baby.
Get him out of the house. He needs some exercise. But I don't want to be the one to have to take him out every time he needs some exercise.
I like it.
Someone else go out there, play with my kid, answer the questions. Bam.
$1 billion idea.
Accepting investments at tweet us
at
Lost in America.
At Lost in America Pod.
Pod.
Don't you can also pod. Listen to all episodes at www.lostinamericapod.com. And I think that's it. Come check us out. All right, let's get to Lost in America.
Bring it on.
Play the music. Welcome back.
Whoa. Stop the presses.
What?
That song. What the hell? Where'd that come from? That was amazing.
How good is that music?
I was just expecting to zone out and hear the same tunes, which I love the old tunes, but...
New tunes,
I'm not just talking about the music, but we have a new tune. That was
Listen, this is when you know you're a real podcast. When you go from amateur to professional, is when you have people, listeners, writing in...
Fans.
True artists. Not only writing in...
We didn't pay.
No. He just sends in, hey, this is my friend Aaron Welch, who I grew up with. He also... He's now the house band of the pod.
House band of the pod.
Because the song.
Marcel, who was the guy in the Tonight Show? Or the Roots for Jimmy Fallon Show?
There you go. Aaron Welch is our Roots. Because he's Aaron Roots, baby.
Aaron Roots.
Because the intro song, that's my band in high school, Pat O'Brien and the O'Briens. Guess who wrote that? Who's the lead singer? Aaron Roots.
Wow.
And then now he wrote this because he's a big fan. And then the song later, the bam, 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 bam. That's him too.
Wow. He's the. I didn't know we even had a musician.
So thank you very much, Aaron. Anybody else, if you want to write music, write it for the pod if you want.
Yeah, if you write a better song than that, Aaron's out.
Or if you want to write a $1 billion idea intro music.
Yeah.
We could use
that. We could use a $1 billion idea intro music.
Any of these segments we
write. And if you write a hit single, maybe you'll make $1 billion off your billion
write
idea.
Write a Billy Bush song, maybe he'll come back.
I got shit can.
Write an Assemblyman Kim song.
We're going to get some angry letters if we say promise Billy Bush is coming back.
All right. Well, Lost in America. Let's get to it. So this happened to me last night, Kaplan. So
fresh lost.
Yes. My landlord, back to my apartment, my landlord left something for me. I just got back. I was out of town. I see something, and it's a little, like, plastic trash can, really small, maybe, like, a foot high.
Left it outside your door? Or?
No, she brought it inside in the foyer.
Foyer. With a little note.
In the foyer. And so it's there with a note on top of it that says, hey, read this. It's an updated trash law in the neighborhood.
Wow. Right?
And so I read it. The trash law is... Now, not only do you have to separate paper and plastics and everything else, but now you have to separate any food items, any food items have to go in a new brown trash can.
And what do you mean, any food items? Like your leftover food?
Leftover food.
We're recycling that now?
Exactly. Yeah. So chicken bones, vegetables you didn't eat, anything that's like eggs, you know, you scrape off the thing.
You got to get a dog. Just give it to the dog.
Well, okay. So then that's there. So I read that, and me being the good tenant that I am, not wanting to get kicked out right before my wife gets here.
Yeah.
I play by the rules. So I put it all into that little brown trash can thing she gives me, and then I put it out on the street last night.
You put all your food?
Yeah, I took all the extra all chicken bones, everything. I put them in there.
How many chicken bones?
I eat a lot of chicken. I'm a chicken guy.
All right.
Put it on the street. Come back today. Stolen.
So what do you mean? Someone took the, like a dog?
Someone took the bucket that she gave me. It turns out the bucket she gave me, I think that was just like an extra gift to go along. There's a real trash can on the street, like a brown, big brown one.
Oh, the bucket? You had a nice new trash can, you gave it away?
Yeah, I didn't realize. So there's a real trash can on the street, like a brown one, and it turns out you're supposed to put it in there. She gave me a mini brown one. I don't know
why.
That's
a weird gift.
Almost as like a gift or something. Like,
yeah. She didn't know. Maybe she doesn't know you speak English, so she wanted to
give you a little like. She's from Brooklyn.
No, she doesn't know you speak English.
She definitely doesn't think I speak English.
She thinks it's a foreigner. What it looks like. Use it. It's a map.
So that mini diorama. Gift trash can that she gave me is now lost in America.
Well, if a listener sees someone out there.
See something, say something.
Say something. Bring it back. Bring it home.
Yeah. All right. Should we get to Ents?
Yeah, so they still our sponsor?
Wait, I think they are. Oh, all right, wait. But one thing I want to talk about is we put a challenge out way, way back, episode 5, 6, 7, I don't know where we were, that we wanted to up our podcast listenership, right?
Yeah.
So we said if we can get to 1,000 downloads an episode, I agreed I would shave my head.
Yeah, and I went to 500,000 for an episode to get a tattoo, so I thought I was smarter about this.
Yeah, but we're going to have to come up with something because... Well, first of all, let's just say we did it, everybody.
We did it. Ding, 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 ding. Sound effects.
In the month of May, we averaged over 1,000 downloads an episode.
Oh, it's per average now. Wow.
Pretty good for the whole month.
Yeah.
Right? So at the end of this podcast, stick around if you want to. We're going to go with our guest Storm Shoe to the barbershop, the Russian lady around the corner. She's going to shave my head. We're going to do it on the air.
Yeah, cut it off.
We'll also have some video in there, so stick around for that.
Stick around. And we're on our way because we got a new reviewer.
What's the new review?
I got a new one fresh off the presses, and he says, Kaplan, drop that knowledge. A lot of exclamation points. That's our 37th review. If we get to 100, what will I do? Well,
you're going to have to do something at 2,000 downloads an episode, I think.
All right, yeah, we got to come up with what it is, though.
Well, guess what? I got news.
You got it?
We're at 2,000. The Artist of Fear episode got 2,000 downloads. So what are you going to do?
I can't say it after the fact. I'll watch you get your head shaved.
All right, audience, listeners.
Come up with something for me to do.
Write in. Leave us reviews on iTunes. In the review, say what you want Kaplan to do for 2,000.
In your 5-star review, say what I should do.
All right. Ints is an app, baby. Yeah. Ints is available in the App Store. You can get it right now. It's also for Android. It's available. It's on your phone. You can leave up to 5-minute voice messages. You can make them voice messages, audio recordings of music you're playing, you're listening to, whatever you want. You can immediately send it to your friends. You can post it on Twitter. You can post it on all kinds of social media. You can post it on WeChat for our friends across the pond. And it's great. Ikram and the boys, Nate, they're making it better every single day.
They're working right now. They wouldn't let us into the studio today to record. They said,
too busy.
We got busy. We got projects tonight.
Top secret upgrades.
Top secret upgrades. They're working on.
They're not letting us.
Make sure to get the new update, everyone.
Low-level types in there to see it. So we'll be back over there with them next week.
Yeah.
Get their app.
Hopefully that we're still there. They're still sponsoring us when they're big.
You get their app. We're going to get to Storm Shoe. Let's get it.
Bring them in.
Come on in, Storm. All right, welcome back to the podcast. We got Storm Shoe in the house.
Yo, yo, what's up? What's up?
Storm's a little tired because we just recorded for a half an hour and lost all of the audio.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed with the intelligence level of the Americans now.
Like, of Americans?
Yeah, seriously.
Like, because we have the stereotype of Americans known for, like, these, like, geeky stuff. Like, because you have the stereotype of Asians known for this stuff. But
we throw the same back stereotype back at us?
Yeah, but we think, these Facebook or Google Americans invent all of those, right?
We did.
Yes,
yeah, but
we did.
In California, not here in
the US.
Apples, iPhones.
being, I will say, we have a lot of Asians in California.
Yeah, the Asians were helping.
And Indians, yeah.
If you,
I was, they got slaved away by Steve Jobs. Yeah,
exactly. I've been to Cupertino, and there are
a lot
of Asians.
So Storm, we just gave you. It's going to be online. This will be on our Facebook, Twitter, all that
stuff.
But we just gave you the first ever Chinese American food of your life.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
How'd you like it?
It was all right. It was.
Jerry's.
What? Right?
It was Jerry's.
Jerry's Chinese food.
Jerry's pod.
Shout out. We gave you General Tso's chicken.
Yeah, the name itself is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what's the big deal about the General Tso guy.
Yeah, well, why he's so famous, right? Is he like a big warrior?
Yeah, every American person knows this Chinese guy, right?
He's the most famous Chinese person.
Yeah, even more famous than Yao Ming.
Bigger than Yao Ming.
Couldn't wrap my head around that.
That's actually an interesting question. Do you think General Tso is more famous than Yao Ming? Probably.
In America, he is.
That's what I mean.
If you ask, yeah, that'd be a good bit. Ask Americans on the street.
And he's not a real person.
Nah, the fictional, like the guy in Rocky is a fictional person.
Rocky's
fictional.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm from Philly. He's real. Rocky's a champion.
So General Tso, I think, was maybe from Taiwan or something. So anyway, that was the first time we ever had that.
Right. Yeah.
And let's go get it now before we kick this off. Should we try?
Fortune cookie. Wait, open the fortune cookie.
This is a fortune. You've never had one, right?
No, never opened one.
Yeah, here's one for you.
They do not have fortune cookies in China.
Nah.
Well, you guys are writing the fortunes and sending them over here. So you can't. Because we only accept fortune cookies because they're from Chinese people. We respect you greatly.
But that's like childish though, bros.
What?
Like, why are you like believing such a piece of paper telling you what your like destiny is gonna be or whatever?
Well, I think we only believe it because the idea is like
to our priest.
Ancient. No, I think we only believe it because it's like the idea is like an ancient Chinese person wisdom.
Not true.
You know?
We don't have that. Not true.
So you don't every night at your family dinner.
Dude, 2,000 years ago, Confucius don't have paper. Paper wasn't invented by then.
Oh, is that what your fortune says?
No. Maybe he wrote it on the wall.
Okay.
What's your fortune?
Anything is possible with a willing heart. That sounds like written by a white girl. Anything is possible.
It says, how about another fortune, second fortune? Oh, I'm on the wrong side. This is, be demonstrative, but do it with dignity. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Storm, translate that for us.
The quality of fortunes have gone downhill since I was a kid, I tell you. Well, and there's a comma that's misplaced in this. Poor grammar, fortune cookie.
Storm, so you've tried General Tso's chicken. Let's try the fortune cookie. What do you think? Give it a...
Give it a crack, yeah.
Eating into the microphone, Storm Shu.
Does it taste like home?
It's all right. It tastes like... Regular cookie.
Does it taste like home?
Yeah.
Kaplan, so.
Which is the most? Do you have? We had Hunan beef, and we had General.
Doesn't taste like fortune, you know.
So Storm, you grew up. I met you in 2012, something like that, in Shanghai.
Yes, baby.
At the Kung Fu Comedy Club. How did you get to the Kung Fu Comedy Club? What did you? You were in Australia before that, or something? But you were from Shanghai.
Yeah. So I studied in Australia for 2.5 years. Maybe across from 2010 to late 2012. And I came back late 2012, and immediately I look up online. And because comedy always been one of my aspirations. So yeah. I always want to do, but I didn't really have a chance. Didn't have somebody open the door for me. Or there's a platform for me to jump on.
So you looked up stand-up comedy online in Shanghai?
Yeah. The first result come up online.
The first result was a picture of Turner?
It was me just killing on stage.
Doing a bit.
Doing Great Wall.
Doing my old joke about the Great Wall. So,
classic.
And you grew up in Shanghai, though.
I did.
So you left right around the times that we were starting, 2010.
True, yeah, around that.
Yeah, okay.
2009, 2010, yeah.
And you grew up, as far as I understand, in a ghetto.
It is. It was ghetto, right? Went there.
Yeah.
Like, but even ghetto, what is that? I mean, Chinese ghetto? Like,
it was rough.
It was pretty rough.
Tell them about it, Turner.
Yeah, it was rough. Thank you. Storm's hosting the podcast.
Yeah.
It was Yangpu is the name of your neighborhood.
Yangpu, baby.
Do you have a tattoo?
Yeah, I have a tattoo.
Oh, wow, you're really rough. You got a tattoo of
Check out his tattoo.
Hood.
To live and die in Yangpu.
Oh, Yangpu. Oh, wow.
Like the...
Tupac. It's
Tupac, to live and die in L.A.?
Yeah.
He is to live and die in Yangpu.
Replica.
If we get to 500,000 downloads, I'm going to put a thing that says to live and die in Long Island City.
Word. Yeah. Okay.
Storm, That's actually possible because you have a big following on Weibo, right? You could get us 500,000 Chinese downloads.
Yeah, maybe.
Get him a tattoo.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you keep your words?
I keep some of my words.
And here's a little shifty. If he gets a tattoo because he's Jewish, he can't be buried next to
him. It kind of ruins my life.
Buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Yeah. You get away from your family. Who wants to be buried with their family?
It's terrible. It's a real commitment to the pod.
But, wow. So you grew up in this Yangpu?
Yeah, Yangpu district. It's insane.
Like part of Shanghai?
It's in Shanghai. So yeah, if you go to Shanghai as like a visitor, your wife came, Randy Kaplan came, or even if you live there as an expat or something, right. It looks like it's all beautiful. Everything's really nice. Everything's new. So when Storm is telling us about this like ghetto he grew up in, when I first met him, he's just like some punk kid. And he's like, yo, I'm from the hood. I'm from the hood. And we're like, oh, who is this guy, you know? But then I actually went there with him, and it was pretty rough.
On a car ride.
We drove through in the car. Yeah. I didn't dare get out of the car.
Are there, like, crimes? Like, what are their main, like,
the
what
primary
do you have to be afraid
crimes
of?
Growing up was
blowing up all the rage. Yeah.
No, prostitution and mugging.
Oh, like, all right. Chief exports. I like it.
Breaking like burglary and some drug dealings.
Breaking burglary.
Wait, what kind of mugging? Like, so you're just walking down the street and people have a knife?
No, people like, what's it called? Like
purse snatchers.
Bullying is basically like older people like bullying kids and snatching money from them.
Oh, they take money?
Yeah, they take money from, they take lunch money from little kids.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so what's going on in high school is what's going on there?
Yeah, but like you're money. Like adults fucking bullying.
Adults?
Yeah.
Adults take lunch money? Lunch money?
from junior high.
What, they go to the junior high?
Yeah.
They go to the school?
Yeah.
That's why these millennials are smart. You don't carry money on anybody. The bully comes up, make me Venmo you this money. Venmo me at $5 now.
I just
WeChat money. WeChat me this money now.
I just had a great idea. Cap, when we go to Shanghai.
Been in their idea, huh?
To do when we go to do the podcast at the Come Crime Club in Shanghai. I want to do a reality tour with Storm. We go to Yangpu, and we get to go to the junior high, and we get to bully kids.
Yeah.
Take their lunch
money. Make sure
money.
Not to wear my jewelry or anything.
Wow, okay. And so...
And there's drugs
people
there,
People will be freaked out seeing a white person in Yangpu.
Really?
But you're, yeah,
seeing I got a lot of looks when I went there. Yeah.
Seeing white guys in Yangpu, people would be freaked out.
Yeah. I'll tell them I'm a Jew.
But it's not... Other than that, it's not dangerous if you just, like, walk through, or is it?
But, like, now it is... Right, like, during the nights, a little bit, like, rough...
Did you have daytime a time as a kid growing up where you got into a bad crowd there? You're like in a gang or anything? Or?
No, because I was, I was telling I was a bully, but I was actually a push around before, like 15 years old. I was
You mean people pushed you around?
Yeah, people took pushed your lunch me around. Money. Yeah. I was like soft kid. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you're getting picked on by adults.
But you got to trickle it down. You pick on like a 9-year-old and they pick on you. And
but
then,
after
boom,
I
get the
turned
money,
15, I start to like just bully little kids, which I was ashamed of, but like that's what we do in Yangpu. Like,
When what was the most you got out of them? You get money or what'd you get?
Like 20 kwai, something like that.
Oh, it's so like $3.
$3, yeah.
And
then
how much would the older people take from you? $3
like, or yeah, maybe $10, $5, something.
Oh, so
like
you're
that.
Losing money on this?
Yeah, you're still not cutting it.
You're
even,
not a very good bowler.
Did you turn to drug dealing then to like make up the difference? How do you?
So, and in the neighborhood, just to describe it, when he took me through it. It's like, I would describe it like a shanty town. Is that like what the ghetto would look like? Like a
Rio.
Brazil.
Like yeah, like Brazil, and, Rio.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like if you see like a stop sign falls down and somebody's like, oh, that's cool, a new roof, you know? And they just take the stop sign and put it on the top of their house. Right?
Okay.
I guess like that's generic white people would be interested like going there.
The sociologists and all of us were like, ooh, we'd love to go to this.
Yeah, that's really culture. That's
generic white people.
But see, like, Turner told us there was no drugs in China. Like, I thought you told me that.
I mean, basically, there aren't.
There was in my neighborhood.
You said heroin.
Yeah, right? Heroin. Like, some guys, they really shoot up straight up heroin. I know some guys. So a friend of mine, his uncle was dealing heroin.
Okay.
They used playing cards as, like, cover up.
But if you get caught in China dealing heroin, you're dead, right?
Yes, it's like a capital punishment. Yeah.
So you have to be like really,
really
into
good
heroin.
Yeah, really into the prison. It's gotta be. It's
but
gotta
the thing,
be the game.
The thing, Turner lived in China. He knows. Like the thing is, unless it's like narcotics, like what's it called, like narcotics, right? Like
narcotics.
Narcotics. The cops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's them, specialized in knowing what kind of drugs it is. Like regular people couldn't really tell. If that's drugs,
yeah, there isn't, because drugs I think because drugs are not like
still rare.
Still so rare in China.
Yeah, still rare.
Most people wouldn't know what weed smells like.
Oh, they don't know what a junkie looks like. Heroin. Right?
Yeah.
Like heroin, cocaine, they wouldn't like.
They would don't even think about it.
Yeah, no.
So then they wouldn't notice it.
They haven't seen The Wire. Oh, that you could have had. We should do a remake.
We should do a Wire.
We should do a Wire in China.
Make a $1 billion idea there.
Yong Pu Wire.
All right.
Did you bring your softy trucks in this neighborhood?
We did not go to his neighborhood.
Because you could have been, you know, doing some drug dealing on the side.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to go down, and the government's going to take you down, you should go down to Place of Glory.
That's a good idea.
American selling heroin out of his ice cream trucks. That would have been a great headline.
So, yeah. So, okay. So, you were living in Yongpu, dealing heroin.
Yeah, straight up on the hood.
Do we want to give a shout out to your dealer if anyone's in the neighborhood, need any of our listeners?
Oh, Xiaobing.
Xiaobing.
Shout out to
one of our Chinese listeners. Need a score, re-up.
And then somehow you made it over cross town to our comedy club.
Yes.
And then you, like right away, you started doing comedy in English.
Yes, I started first in English. Yeah.
And then pretty soon thereafter in Chinese.
Right.
And now you do it in both, correct?
Yeah, now I'm doing both, yes.
And you're pretty successful in both.
It's just...
You've done the... Right. Well, you just did the Melbourne Comedy Festival in Australia.
Yeah.
For the second year in a row.
I did twice, yeah,
They speak English there. Right.
That's in Australia.
Yeah, okay.
They
speak Australian, Mike.
And what would you say? Because people always ask me that. I want to know. What's the difference between like the sense of humor for stand-up in English comedy and then Chinese comedy?
Actually, I get annoyed a lot. People always ask me these kind of questions. Not directly annoying. To you.
No, I mean, I do too, but I'm just asking you on behalf of the thousands of
annoying people
that
out there. Yeah.
Yeah, there are people like because you know what? Like as the people on the inside or actually who are doing both, I don't blame them, but I get annoyed at asking, like getting asked too much, right? So actually, I think comedy is like universal, the philosophy or the logic of comedy is like universal, right? You set a punchline, then you have a surprise, a twist in the end, or you exaggerate the twist, then becomes a punchline.
Yeah, you do a setup, and
twist. Yeah. So the logic is basically the same, no matter it's in English or in Mandarin. But the language is really a tool for you to bring those reference to people who can relate to you. I mean, which matters are the reference or the cultural background?
Yeah, I think what people's assumption is, for some reason, I don't know why, people in America assume that like our style of stand-up comedy is storytelling
right.
and personal and like just like really like almost like Louis C.K. has become this like character of like, oh, that's what everyone's like now. You really look deep into your soul and you figure out life.
But we just assume people in other cultures don't have interesting stories like that.
Is that it? Like, I don't know. But people always ask me, they go like, oh, I know in China, it's like you bonk someone over the head with a hammer. And
I think
it's
a
great bit.
This is a sense of entitlement of like white privilege. So thanks.
Yeah.
No other country have culture.
Wait.
Sense of humor.
Let me say that it's not only white people who say this to me.
But Americans.
Black people.
Okay, Americans. No, Americans like entitlement. Americans entitlement.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I can also.
That's fair. I think we.
It's sort of fair, except.
Like first world entitlement, something like that.
Yeah, it's probably British feel this way too.
Yeah, definitely. But I would say that when I started in 2009 doing stand up, that was a big part of what I saw, at least on Chinese TV.
Right. But at the time, stand-up, this format wasn't introduced to China. So
yeah.
And also, but like daily conversation, we also talk intelligent stuff, but not getting showed on TV.
Yes.
Right?
And truthfully, that was the same in America in like the 1950s, before like Bill Cosby and George Carlin. I mean, no, Bill Cosby
Bill
was a
Cosby
comedian.
Changed. Yes, exactly.
Before he drugged people.
Not the rapist.
He did.
Before
the act.
As a comedian, we're speaking here.
As a comedian, Carlin, Cosby, all those guys, before them, it was like, hey, yep.
So is there like a...
There was a process, progress and process, yeah.
Yeah, so in America, it happened over the course of...
And then Seinfeld got the whole, what's the deal with this? Is there a Chinese...
Right. Observational comedy.
Oh, that's a good point. Is there like a Chinese Seinfeld?
Oh, there is. You know what, like, so the guy who just won the like Kung Fu Comedy second year China International Comedy Festival, the Mandarin language competition.
Yeah, we host a big festival every year now.
Yeah, the
Kung
guy
Fu
was
a, oh, in
the,
Shanghai.
He's my friend. He's from Beijing. He's my friend. His name is Zhou Qimo. He won this year, right? He's a typical observational comedian.
Oh. Okay. So
he's
what
like
would be
slow
like
slow delivery guy?
Can you remember any of his jokes and translate them for us?
So one of his jokes. Okay, it's kind of getting lost.
That's fine. That's even better.
Lost in translation in America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, so he's basically his jokes are about like him and dad. He teaches dad how to like shop online, something like that.
Okay.
Then he just acted out. Like, oh, my dad didn't know what this tab is.
Okay.
What that icon is, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So basically translate to English. What's the deal with old people using computers? Something like that.
There you go. Nice.
And then he ends it with bonking him over the head.
No, no, no.
And then
no,
a clown.
No, he wasn't physical. He was really funny though, but I'm just saying he's a typical observational comedian.
Cool. Yeah. And do you have to change your style from one language to the other?
I do though, because my act in English is like a Chinese guy who grew up and raised in China, acting black. That's my total act. That's my whole act. Just like talking ghetto and acting thug.
Yeah,
that's my whole.
Act. Do that. Like a white person can't do that act in
America. You couldn't do that in Mandarin. Like people
a white person could definitely not do that.
Maybe but Eminem pulled off.
Yeah.
Eminem, right? Vanilla Ice, whatever. Like
Vanilla Ice did not pull it off. I'd say Eminem did.
And also, yes. What's another guy's name?
He wasn't really a comedian, though, Eminem.
Thrift Shop. Thrift Shop. What's the guy? Thrift Shop?
I don't know. Thrift Shop? Oh, Macklemore?
Yeah, Macklemore.
I don't think people like him.
He's acting ghetto. He's acting ghetto.
Yeah, but no one likes him.
Oh, he is.
Easy. He attempts.
Macklemore's white.
Yeah. So okay, yeah, okay. So then in Chinese you can't act black in Chinese.
Yeah.
Why? What do you act like?
In Chinese I just do what I normally do. Like
he acts white.
Do you
But I think the thing is, right, like people who are out there who are intelligent enough to speak another language so you can relate to me. If you speak second or third, fourth language, you become a different person.
I agree.
You totally become a different person. It's not like me like being fake, acting black, but when I speak English,
right,
that's just
more of
the way.
Because it's not.
But that's just the way I act. Because
I learn English. That's such a good point. It's not a different person. It's a different side of your own personality.
Yeah, true.
Like you tried doing comedy in Mandarin once, right? And didn't you like bomb or?
Oh yeah, it was terrible. I can't remember if we talked about this on this version or
no,
the
you,
one.
No, we've done it both actually. That's why I
got to play it again.
But yeah, emphasize. I don't know if this was the recording that got lost. But yeah, I tried it once I tried just like translating a couple of my jokes. I think I wrote one or two new jokes. Right. But I was stumbling over my words. I bombed pretty hard.
I think people thought you were cute. Like
they thought it. That's right. I mean, they did. They thought it was cute. There. They thought I was like, cuz it was like a novelty act.
Right.
Yeah.
See the white man.
Exactly, which is not what I wanted to be at all. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to English.
Can you teach me a four-minute?
I'm
good. Can you teach me a good 5-4-minute set in Mandarin, and I'll make my stand-up debut in China?
5 minutes?
Teach me a memory, some cue cards. That,
do you have a chair and something you can
bump me over the head? Yeah. All right, 1 minute. Done.
So, okay, so now you're in America for the first time.
In the U.S., first time, huh? Legally.
Yeah,
baby, I made it.
And what do you
think?
Made
it past the wall.
It's all right. I like it. I like it a lot.
You like New York City?
But like, it's exact, like not exact, but mostly what I expected. Because I grew up watching lots of like American movies, NBA fan, hip hop fan.
Who's your favorite team?
I grew up liking Lakers.
Oh, not the Rockets.
No. I grew up liking Lakers. Then Yao Ming joined the Rockets, so that was the like mandatory. Right. Thing to do.
Yeah, you have to.
Obligation. That's
for the good of the party.
Is Yi now? What's his name?
Yi Jianlian.
Yeah, that,
he
is he's still in the league.
He sucked a lot.
So he's back in the Chinese league.
But like Yao Ming was like obligation if you're a Chinese person. You have to.
Yeah.
Jason McGrady, Jimmy Jackson.
Yeah. All those guys. Yeah.
Mutombo.
What's his name? Mobley. Like
Stephon Marbury?
No, Mobley. Like the
Tino Mobley.
What's his?
Catino Mobley. You liked him?
Yeah, and Weatherspoon, right? All those guys. Weatherspoon, the guy he used to play for.
Weatherspoon?
Clarence Weatherspoon.
Oh, 76ers, right?
He played on the Rockets?
He used to play for Sixers.
I'm a Sixers fan.
Then he joined the Rockets.
Oh, it's a low. I don't remember him being on the Rockets.
We had him replace
Charles Barkley. He was the baby Barkley.
Yeah. Shane Badir.
Yeah, good player. All right.
Awesome. Yeah, wow.
NBA credentials.
Okay, so What about starting out American food? What have you thought of it since being here?
Yeah, I like bagels.
You like bagels?
I eat bagels every day.
Have you had a bagel and lox yet?
Breakfast. At what?
Have you had lox with your bagel?
Lox, what is that?
Oh, it's like smoked salmon.
Oh, no, no, I haven't
had. It's very New York. You got to try a bagel and lox with some cream cheese.
Oh, okay, okay.
A little tomato. Have you had whitefish salad? No.
I have bagels with like cheese and like ham, something like that.
Yeah, they call that the
there
Turner.
There we go. Ham, baby.
That's the Sparks.
It's really nice. Ham. I like it. I like it a lot. Yeah. It's not expensive.
It's an abomination, but yeah.
It's good. Bagels.
And what about
pizza? Have you had pizza here yet?
Yeah, pizza. Loving the pizzas, man. It's everywhere. On every street corners, basically.
You had some pizza last night?
Yeah, pizza shop.
Next to the
that
Lantern?
Place Turner recommended to me was decent.
Did Turner recommend 7-Eleven pizza to you? Or?
No. Yeah, he hasn't.
I'm a big 7-Eleven fan. How's, what about being in the U.S.? How's comedy going?
Diverse. Comedy's going all right. So I did, today's my fourth day. I did three shows and one open mic so far.
That's great.
It was all right. So it's ups and downs. Some shows, like really quiet, like light shows. Some shows were all right.
You mean like the audience?
Yeah, audience-wise, yeah, really light.
How would you compare it to doing comedy in China, or have you done it in Australia before?
Right.
What about other places? New York versus those?
So far, Australia was the sweetest experience to me.
Most fun.
Yeah, it was like every show.
So you went back to Australia after you... Like after you lived in Australia, came to China, started doing comedy, and then you went to Australia again, or
yeah, for the Melbourne comedy.
They invite me though. Oh, okay. Yeah, they invite me though.
Yeah, I don't know. Did we talk about that on this one?
I don't remember actually.
Storm is in the Melbourne Comedy Festival in Australia 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
So I think New York is not a place to necessarily have fun doing comedy. It's a place to get better.
True, it's like really toughen up your skin, something like that.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
But like Australian, like, because when I went there, it was a specific festival, and people were really excited and enthusiastic about seeing like a foreign act there. So it's different. But here, I'm just on a regular visit. It's different.
Yeah, you're not, you're just like anybody else.
Yeah, there aren't that many
Chinese-born comics in the New York clubs, are there?
I mean, that's what I wanted to say. Literally, I've run into zero. I haven't found one Chinese comedian in New York. I found a few Chinese Americans.
Chinese descendants comedians.
Right. That's not many. There's Misha Han.
Friend of the pod.
I don't know of any others. There's probably a few. Shang's in LA.
Oh, Shang's in LA.
And then you're the only like Chinese person from China. Okay. Have you found that audiences.
Misha's surfer stepping on here.
Yeah, I know.
Watch out.
Have you found that the audiences are paying attention to you more because, like, wow, you have an interesting story, an interesting accent?
So far, I've done, like, three shows.
Hard to tell.
Like, audience members combined of those three shows were, like, combined numbers were about 50, maybe.
Yeah.
Three shows, 50 people. So I can't really tell.
Small sample size.
You said you're going to go on a ghetto tour here, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. We might need to hire you soon.
A week from now, Monday, I'm going to go up to Harlem. Like 124th Street, something like that.
On a tour?
Yeah. No, just do a mic there.
An open mic.
A visit there as well. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said there was a tour you could take that shows
It's not called ghetto tour. It's called hip hop tour.
Hip hop tour? And what do they do?
They just bus you to like Harlem and Queens. Like
people into bed.
Yeah, Queensbridge. Great. Queensbridge. Shout out to you. Nas.
Are you going to come to Queensbridge?
Yeah.
That's where Teddy, that's where his son's going to go to kindergarten.
Shout out to Nas and the Ron Artest.
Nas is kindergarten. Nas Teddy Kaplan's.
Yeah, so they're going to take you to Queens and to Queensbridge.
You're going to go to Queensbridge.
Maybe on that tour if I sign up for that tour.
All right, I'm going to hire you a little bit of a backup. I have a cop I know. He can go with you, maybe.
All right.
I don't trust you in Queensbridge.
We might have to get you back on.
to discuss it.
After that tour, a little five-minute review of your ghetto tour.
You know what? I was just Brooklyn, so I was... So I walked through the downtown, right? Now, downtown was all right, but I walked from Bed-Stuy.
Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Yeah, I went to Bed-Stuy this afternoon. It was like some parts of Bed-Stuy was pretty ghetto.
Oh, you went to see where...
The Biggie mural is.
Biggie's from.
Oh, wow, yeah, you're really a big fan.
Yeah. Big Biggie fan.
Bed-Stuy do or die.
Yeah, Bed-Stuy do or die.
So East Coast or West Coast? Where you at now?
Some parts... I'm more like East Coast guy. Yeah. Some parts like really ghetto Bed-Stuy, like projects...
Anyway,
Bed-Stuy was nice. I like it a lot. I just look about like Jay-Z's from there, Chris Rock from there, Biggie.
Tony Rock.
Yeah, Tony Rock. All those legends.
All the Rock.
Yeah, all the Rock from there. Yeah, all those legends were from there, man.
So this is where you wanted to go, in all places in America.
Yeah, yeah, Best Buy. I just, like, before I even came up with this trip, I just want, like, always in my mind, burying my mind, just want to go to the ghetto, go to the hood. Harlem, Best Buy.
That's why you're here.
Queensbridge, yeah.
Queensbridge.
Yeah.
Did you play any basketball games while you're in these places?
Sorry, what?
Have you gotten on in the courts, played any hoops?
No, I haven't. Like, I
go
didn't
to West
wear my,
Fourth
like,
Street, actually, when
didn't
you're
wear my basketball sneakers.
Oh, if you go to West 4th Street, you can check out, watch the games.
Oh, I watched though. There was a West 4th, like,
yeah.
The court was quite small, though, the West.
It's tiny.
Yeah, it's tiny court.
A good handle.
But they really can play, those guys, yeah.
So, well, let me tell you something. To complete your hip-hop tour, the Beastie Boys grew up on this street.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to give away where I live, but...
Yeah, fans, don't tell the... But they're going to look up where the Beastie Boys...
You can probably Google it and find out. They grew up right here on this street. The park at the end of the block is Adam Yauch Park.
Dope.
Because that's where he grew up.
They
grew
also, Run DMC is from Queens, right?
I don't know him at hip-hop.
So. Oh, no, the guy... No, Russell Simmons from Queens. Yeah. You know Russell Simmons?
Yeah,
Russell Simmons from Queens, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Billy Joel wrote a song about Allentown. That's what I know.
Nice. All right. Well, how long is your trip here?
Till the 19th. Then I leave to L.A.
Yeah, and you're going to be doing the Kung Fu Comedy Show with us
on the 14th at the Lantern.
At the Lantern at the 14th. We have another one on the 21st, which unfortunately you'll be out of town for.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right, man.
All right, before we get to the news, anything else you want to say to your fans in America?
You know what, though? Keep hustling, my homies. Dude, life is like, you know what? Like, I hope everybody in the project can make a lot of projects. That's what Nas told me, man. That's like, because I grew up in the hood. I can relate, right? For people out there who are listening to this pod also grew up in the hood. I hope you one day can make out of the hood.
I don't think anyone who listens to this pod grew up in the hood.
Keep that in the pod. Like, that's my motto.
Keep that in the pod.
We'll keep it in the pod.
No. Because my whole philosophy of life is that's why I choose to do stand-up comedy. Like, because just want to express myself and have a channel to relieve, to say what I truly want to say. That's what stand-up comedy allows me to do. And
So what do you want to say?
No, keep hustling, man.
Keep hustling.
Keep hustling.
Yeah, for shizzle, yo.
Any messages from Turner's fans back in China for him?
Oh, Turner's being nice to me so far. Turner specifically taught me how to distinguish Latinos last night.
That's not true.
Oh, right, yes.
This was Puerto Rican. This was,
I did not do that. I don't even know what a Puerto Rican is.
You don't, well, that, you're lost in America. You're teaching him about things in America.
All I said was there was a good pizza place around.
No, you told me that guy was Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
You saw a Cuban guy across the street?
Yeah. I know a Cuban
Did he tell you to cross the street? He's like, there's a Puerto Rican coming? What are we talking about? No? All right.
And what about American people so far?
American people? So the rumor or the stereotype cliche I got was, like, on the East Coast, pretty honest, like, straightforward people.
Yeah.
Like New York, whatever, Boston, like, really cold. But, like, they don't muck around, right? Like, they're honest. But on the East Coast, a little bit like...
On the West Coast?
Yeah, on the West Coast they have, like, they have act or they have too much, like, they have phony or whatever. Layers on them. That's the stereotype. I've heard.
Women, what do you think of the American women so far?
You know, I'm not a fan.
Whoa.
Burying the lead.
No, like, because everyone's been telling me, oh, you should go to Soho, go to Village, check out those Village chicks. Village chicks are all right to me.
Village chicks? They're all right
like,
to me.
Like Soho, Joe Schaefer told me Soho chicks are like models, but I'm like,
well, you gotta wait. The weather's been shit. If we get a hot day while you're here, walk down like West Broadway,
right?
Hang out in Washington Park or Central Park.
So where would you rather be looking at chicks? Yongpu?
No, chicks. But like Australian chicks, pretty hot.
Oh, okay.
So the hottest chick I've ever like seen was in Queensland, Australia. Which is Gold Coast, Australia. Like, everyone was wearing bikini. Yeah, everyone was wearing bikini. Yeah,
at the beach.
Just walking around. Just like it's a beach town. So
okay. Even when they're out on the beach, they just walk around in bikinis.
Just true blonde, like.
And that's the hottest chick you've ever seen.
That's so hot. That's like hottest
shout
blonde
out
chicks.
To the hottest Queensland.
Queensland.
Wait till you get to the chicks in Queensbridge.
Yeah, there you go. So should we get to the news?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're gonna stick around?
Actually, I'm gonna stay.
Stick around for the news. We'll do it quick. Yeah. All right, let's get to the news. To the pod, everybody. First news item. Storm, pick up your mic, baby. We're doing it.
We're doing it, baby.
Yeah, this is how the news works. You gotta talk.
We're doing the news. First item, Mr. Softy's in the news.
Uh-oh.
My old business.
Yeah.
This is a New York branch.
Does it burn you to read the news about Mr. Softy?
It burns me to the core.
Can I chime in?
Chime away.
I haven't even read the news.
But you know what, though? Speaking of Mr. Softy, right? Like, because I'm here like 4 days already, but I've seen like different brands of ice cream trucks.
Yeah, we
lots just, of different brands
we have
of,
lots of ripoffs too.
So are they ripoffs?
Well, that's what we're going to read about.
Okay.
So, summer is just barely unofficially back, and so is the now infamous soft serve brawl between longtime giant Mr. Softy and young disruptor New York Ice Cream. This comes to us from Eater, New York.
It's a food blog.
It's a fantastic food blog. Mr. Softy.
For yourself.
Mr. Softy.
Sponsor.
Mr. Softy has hired private investigators to tail New York Ice Cream truck and make sure they don't use the brand's signature jingle or swirl-shaped mascot. New York Ice Cream has reportedly responded with threats backed by metal pipes.
What does that mean? Like tough guys?
Yeah, tough guys. They're getting tough guys out there. So what happened? Storm, I'll fill you in. Just like this happened to Mr. Softy to me in China. You know how all these fake trucks came up?
Right, right.
Same things happened in New York. All these guys got franchises from Jim Conway.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Jimmy Conway.
Yeah, owner of Mr. Softy. They bought franchises from him and then eventually just like stopped paying him.
Right.
Tried to continue to use the same name. He got these investigators after them.
Right.
And so now they're calling themselves New York Ice Cream, but they're doing everything else exactly the same and pushing Mr. Softy out of Lower Manhattan.
But like they are hiring mobs?
Yeah, and then they're hiring guys to beat up the Mr. Softy drivers.
Wow.
With metal pipes.
I got two things. One.
Ice cream gans, huh?
I actually know a PI named Jimmy Conway, and I wonder if I asked him to do me a, like he would work for Mr. Softy, as it's his namesake.
Do you a solid?
Do a solid for the company. did you ever see the Simpsons episode where they're where she's selling pretzels?
No.
Oh, well, the joke of the whole episode is Homer hires the mob to help Marge's pretzel floundering pretzel business.
Okay.
And they, like, take all the Girl Scouts and they run to the county line at one point, and they're like, this is a pretzel town now. But anyway, the whole joke ends up where then the other arrival thing hires the Chinese mob to battle this mob.
Oh! Yeah,
that's art's imitating, or life's imitating art here. I
mean, Storm, can you get us the Chinese mob?
I'm gonna get some boys from Yangpu, dude.
Yeah, we'll get the
boys from Yangpu.
Yangpu.
Because Mr. Softy has deep pockets. I'm sure they can defend themselves.
It is odd that, yeah, I don't know what Mr. Softy is doing in terms of defending themselves. I know that with us, looking back in it, I should have gone street on him, you know? I should have hired Yangpu to come out and beat these guys up. Yeah. But I didn't. I was just like, well, the government's going to take care of it. But they never do.
Yeah. But this is not the official government, though, in America, whereas in China it was the government.
Right. Government was my competition.
But here in U.S., what's the like stance government having?
Well, legally, you can get them taken away if they're infringing on your trademark.
Oh, okay.
Which so the song is the trademark.
Yeah, so as long as they're not using the song,
they're
just kind of a-holes. But what they said was, they're like, well, Mr. Softy charges us a yearly fee plus a fee for every cone we sell.
Charges
like,
too.
Yeah, but wake up charges this New York Ice Cream. That's why they went rogue, you know? But it's like, yeah, that's what franchising is. Here's so to close this one out. Still, you do have to get permits in America, right? Well, right. China, we had to get them. The other people didn't. But so it turns out Mr. Softy still has 126 of the 228 possible permits for New York. And New York Ice Cream Truck has 46 permits. But my point is, if you've seen your New York Ice Cream Truck, don't eat there. These guys are thugs. They're gangsters.
Yeah. I don't eat there either. Poke their tires.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. All right.
And I don't even, you know, they have other knockoffs. I don't want to get too into it, but there's like waffle chucks that are like nice, and then they'll have like a knockoff crap. And I try to stay with the original as support for Softy.
Exactly. Stay with the original.
Yeah. Bye.
That's my message for the fans out
there. Bye, baby.
Next story.
Women faces pressure.
That's an interesting. Huh?
This comes to us from China.
Women, huh?
Women.
Storm. I brought this on because this is your neighborhood.
China, your neighborhood.
Woman faces family pressure because of poor boyfriend. This is to us from China Smack.
Right.
A woman from Shanghai said,
"This is a real story."
Yes.
Pressure because a poor boyfriend.
Yeah, this is Chinese culture.
Okay.
A woman from Shanghai said that she and her Jiangxi boyfriend returned to his village for a festival. Now, Jiangxi is a smaller province outside of Shanghai, right? So she and her boyfriend from Jiangxi returned to his village for a festival, but immediately after seeing the food, she wanted to break up with him.
The food?
Yeah, she expressed that her parents were against her being with an outsider, especially one as poor as this guy, because his food was so bad and so poor.
Oh, the food his family prepared.
The food his family prepared was so garbage that she wanted nothing to do with him. Storm, what say you?
Hey, let me tell you something, right? If she couldn't find a nicer guy, why wouldn't she? Because she couldn't find a nicer guy, bitch. Stay with what you can get.
Hey! Yeah, exactly. You're saying maybe she was ugly or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, just, you know what? Like, just be real to yourself. Maybe that's the...
Maybe that's why it's giving her a bad spread. Yeah. Because she's fat.
That's like, that's, that's like the top guy you can get. Like, not... Yeah, why are women...
Or maybe his parents don't like her, so they're not rolling out a big spread.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not like going to give her a great food for this.
Not because you're from Shanghai... doesn't mean like you're entitled to having like a rich boyfriend or rich guy. I mean, every girl wants a rich guy, but how many of you can really get a rich guy?
Exactly. Right? We all, yeah, everyone in every like guy wants a hot chick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
be realistic.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you got to get the chick from the softball team.
When I brought Randy home to my parents, they put on a spread.
Yes.
Allentown's finest foods, let me tell you. And if they didn't do that, she would have left me. So I support her.
Well, what Storm's saying, though, is, yeah, there's a sense of entitlement in Shanghai that we're the best city in the country. So no matter, we're born here, we're born the best, we should get the best.
So no matter who you are in Shanghai, you're the best.
Yeah, I'm totally not with that like logic or point of view. I'm like, dude. Now, I'm not saying everyone's equal or whatever, that bullshit, but I'm just saying, like if you are 5 in Shanghai, I mean, the best you can do is finding a 6 somewhere else, right? Like,
yeah.
Finding someone close to
it's
you.
It's worth 1 point.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You get where you're from.
Yeah. You get 1 point up.
Are the women better looking, though, you're saying in Shanghai? Or they're,
no. But, like, so women, in general, in cosmopolitan cities, are they look better because they know how to dress up. They know how to, like...
Well, there's more competition,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, makeup. Or,
so they work out more,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, they work out
more. Walking.
Yeah.
But, like...
That's how they feel in New York. I mean, yeah. I don't want to spoil, but I was in Portland recently, and let me tell you. America, New York, L.A., Miami.
That's it.
That's where the good-looking people are.
Sacktown.
Sacktown. This is the big four. That's where the models all come out.
Yeah, women, OKC, my God.
Oklahoma City?
Okay. That's why Durant left.
Exactly.
All right, so final story of the week.
Right.
This is a big one. So this is a very big story in China right now. It is not a story at all in America.
It's not trending.
Mm-hmm. It's not trending in America, but in China it is. Storm told me about it. My wife, Yaya, told me about it. A Chinese student at University of Maryland... She was valedictorian of the University of Maryland this year. She got to give the speech.
Yeah, valedictorians in college? That's a thing? That was a high school thing.
Yeah.
Oh. I think I slept through that part of my graduation.
It's the person that got the best grades.
Wasn't that Tyler Sparks?
Was at your graduation. You were pissed drunk.
Yeah. Did we have a valedictorian? God, I don't remember. It was Donovan McNabb.
A Chinese student at the University of Maryland has hurt the feelings of the Chinese people in China with a controversial commencement speech over the weekend, which focused on fresh air and freedom. Now,
that sounds like a name of like a Fox News bit or something. Like, fresh air and freedom.
Yeah,
fresh
air and freedom. That sounds a lot like a Fox News.
So let me read you a couple of her quotes that hurt the feelings of Chinese people.
And how did the Chinese people see this speech?
I have no idea.
Viral? It gets viral on Chinese internet. Oh.
Yeah, it's not like who's watching college.
The Maryland, is there a station?
Valedictorian
like
speech.
There's so much specialization.
They just edit out like the. They edit out, make it to a 2-3 minutes like video clip or like.
Was it on the news?
Yeah, it was out everywhere.
Even the, on the news in China.
Even the fucking
slow news day.
The China foreign ministry responded.
See, wait, this is what happens. Let me say, this is what happens when you don't have Trump.
Right.
Is you have, you have no news.
Sure.
So you're reporting Trump, otherwise you're reporting on this stupid college.
But it's also very Trump-like. This is why, like,
commencement speech. We have Trump, and so that there's no other news possible. He dominates the news every single
day. But also to go to that, it's like why you're saying Trump's not as big a deal in some countries. Like, your foreign minister is commenting on the story of a college. That's something Trump would do.
Yeah,
you're right. About I would say that, let me read this first, but I would say that Chinese government is very Trump-like. Very, like, block out all foreign press is bad. Anything that a foreigner says is wrong.
For my career, for the sake of my career, I wouldn't comment on my government.
Perfect. Okay. Well, no, you can say that Trump's good.
As Rasheed Wallace said, both teams play hard.
Both teams played hard. Okay, so now, let me read these quotes. First of all, she says, people always ask me, why did you come to the University of Maryland?
It's like your voice.
I always answer, fresh air.
Boom.
I mean, she was just trying to be funny. She was trying to be funny, but that proves women can't be funny. You know,
right? Oh, my God.
Wait, is that universal? And trainer, they don't think women are funny either?
Like, if she gives a regular speech just saying what a bullshit she, like everybody else saying, just saying, I get a good grace, thanks to my parents, thanks to University of Maryland. That's it.
Thanks, good night.
Yeah, that's it. There will be no hassle after that.
Go Kings.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Go Terrapins.
She was, the problem was she was having like she was having intention. Like,
you're right. She's like trying to hit a punchline.
Yeah, yeah. She was trying to do like a humorous speech.
And then people got, what I found interesting though is just that one line alone, people got really upset because they're like, what? Our air is fresh. But like, no, it's not.
Can say that, but you don't say that when you're.
Yeah, but I'm not only trying to bash her, but also the Chinese internet, like the netizens or the like the mobs on internet. Yes. Like,
the netizens. Same here.
Why is it so easy to get offended? Like,
yeah.
Fuck off, right?
Really like, everywhere, easily
everywhere.
Offended.
Yeah, everywhere.
Like, fresh air, yeah. Okay, so then she says, 5 years ago, I stepped off the plane from China and I left the terminal at Dulles Airport, that's in DC. I was ready to put on one of my 5 face masks. But when I took my first breath of American air, I put my mask away.
See, that she was just trying to be funny. That was totally hypothetical.
Yeah, because that's obviously not true.
Yeah, hypothetical. But people got so hung up on the 5 masks.
Do you bring 5 masks?
People like, no, that's not true. You only wear 4. Yeah. Nobody wears 5. They don't even sell you 5 at a pharmacy.
Yeah, they have one for like a night mask. Yeah. This is like your going out mask.
I'm like, don't you get? That's like, what's it called? Hyperbole, right?
Yeah,
like,
hyperbole.
Don't you get it?
She's a comic.
Yeah, she was
put her
just
on the
like,
Kung Fu comedy
she
set.
Was just
this is not very good.
She was just a fucking jaded open micer or whatever.
Jaded open micer. So finally she says, no more fog on my glasses, no more difficulty breathing.
See, she went too far with it.
Oh, wait, here's the
I'm okay with the joke, but you know.
So she says, no more fog on my glasses, no more difficulty breathing, no more suppression.
Oh, I see why people, but yeah.
That's a little over the line.
No, her command of war is poor, but like.
She's a valedictorian, though.
Why couldn't she say whatever she wants to say? It's U.S. Also, the fucking Trump, the president of U.S. is the symbol.
Of course.
Symbol of saying whatever you want to say. So
yeah, he's a symbol of freedom.
Right?
You put
right?
it that like, way, he's a symbol of freedom.
He is a symbol of freedom.
The inauguration speech is a total a crock of shit. So.
Yeah.
Would he, if he
sounds
gave
like
a
rap song.
Yeah. If Trump gave a valedictorian speech, I mean, would it be better than that? I don't know. That's pretty good. That's not a terrible speech. Just she went a little far with her.
Trump is like, I'm rich. I'm really, really rich.
Hillary sucks. I'm out.
Because the two things I would say is that one, Trump's working on the air. Maybe won't be so great for her kids. But anyway, two, valedictorian speeches are terrible. This is what I learned. Valuable lessons.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a poem. That's our.
We went to Cabo junior year. Yeah. Shout out to my girls.
So, yeah. There's never been one good one in the history. Valedictorians are smart people. They're not good at giving speeches. There's never been a good one ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Cut her some slack. She's trying to joke out.
She took a couple swings. Maybe she missed. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah.
That's my take.
That's my suggestion to ladies, right? Just go to strip clubs. Like.
Jesus. I think you went there.
I don't know. No, male strip clubs having fun. Like, as your graduation.
You're not saying she should be a stripper. Cause she's
No. I mean, if you want to celebrate your graduation, just go to male strip
Got
club.
It.
Don't do like a fucking stupid
Well, what I don't like is the next day she apologized. That's apologize.
She should stick to that.
Stick to it, right? Just, have fun, be young, drink Pepsi. That's
also,
all.
Also, if you graduate college in America, you don't have to go to strip club. You go to a party. She probably hooked up that night, doesn't remember you making the speech.
Hopefully.
You know. Quite a good time.
Thank you.
Cheers from Maryland.
Storm Shoot.
Welcome. Thanks for having me, Turner and Kaplan.
Thanks for being on the pod.
Yeah.
No, welcome.
A legend in flesh. It's good to finally meet you.
We finally got you on. You're probably the most talked about guest that we had not have on yet.
Oh, okay, thanks.
So many stories.
Thanks. Take you to Yampu sometime.
And I want to give you a closing comment.
Right.
Anything is possible with a willing heart.
With a willing heart. Storm Shoe, that's all.
Get lost.
Get lost.
Get lost. This is the motherfucking bridge. Queens Bridge and the motherfucker. In your trunk, turn the bass up. Not stories by Aesop. Place your loot up. Parties I'll shoot up. Now it's an analyze.
Alright, we almost forgot. We're in the Lower East Side.
We almost weaseled out of us.
I know. So we came down here. Storm Shoe is with us.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
Well, I'm going to get my hair cut. I'm going to get my head shaved.
Yeah. 2,000 downloads.
2,000 downloads. 1,000 a week for the month of May. Thank you very much. Keep it up, everybody. Yeah. I'm going to get my head shaved.
Start those razors. Fire them up.
This is Kaplan's barber. It's
neighborhood barbers on 9th Street between A and 1st.
What's it called?
It's called Neighborhood Barbers.
Neighborhood Barbers. Sorry, I thought you said it's my neighborhood.
It was my old neighborhood.
Yeah, a very friendly Russian dude.
See Greg.
Let's go
Greg
get it done. Man. Greg the barber?
Greg the barber.
Let's go inside.
So Turner now is going for the American History X look. So neo-Nazi look.
Yeah. And we got Greg the barber, best barber in New York City.
No, Nazi short.
Shaved from Uzbekistan. Been coming here since 2005.
You're copping out.
2004? 2003? Long time.
This barber is a funny guy, man.
Yeah, he's going to start with the number 4. See what it looks like.
Start with the number
4. Oh, okay. See,
it's like 4 inches or 4?
No, it's the name of the razor. It's
okay. So.
I used to get my head shaved when I was first coming here. I used to get my head shaved. I used to go, like, I thought number 1.
You were a skinhead before?
No, I thought that it looked good. I think because Mini Kaplan, shout out,
used to shave my head, like, every month.
Yeah. All right, looks good. Is that shaved enough? I think so.
Is that tight enough?
It's good.
I think so.
Yeah.
That's what you used to do?
I know.
I used to get like a 1.
Like shorter.
Number 1. Go. All
right, yeah, try this first.
I used to shave my head until I realized, like, when you get older, you want to have longer hair.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Girls like longer hair.
This looks amicable.
What is Yeye going to say about all this?
Alright, nice. Not terrifying, so. Right.
Just keep it like this?
His wife spent a long time trying to get into the country, find her husband. Time to consummate the marriage and all that. And she's here, and she left him alone too long. He's become a skinhead.
I can lose my hair. Right? Are you gonna get tattoos? For a certain amount of
time? 500,000 downloads,
okay.
Yeah.
500,000.
So, yeah, I really laid the gauntlet down.
Right.
In 1 week.
You better get a Kobe Bryant on the pod.
And I'm going to make sure if we get 500,000 that it's not like some robot in Russia giving 330,000.
I go for dreadlocks next time, maybe.
Should I do that?
Yeah, 10,000. Yeah, for dreadlocks.
Dreadlocks. We're going to have to decide what I'm going to do. It can't be the same thing. Never growing back. Look, this could be it. We're gonna have to don't tell Yaya. We'll just want to see her reaction. Yeah. She's gonna listen to the pod though.
Did she know the dare? Did she know the bet?
Yeah, she was listening to the pod.
Oh, okay. So like, yeah. She must know. She must know you're getting shaved.
Let's get a
tail in the back for
the rat tail.
The rat tail.
Yeah, just leave it.
Like a Chinese kid.
Yeah.
You guys want to sponsor the pod, barbershop?
Give a shout out.
Neighborhood Barbers on 9th Street between Avenue A and 1st Avenue.
All right. I use the promo code. Lost America, get a first shave, 20% off.
Yeah, they're going to throw us out if you say that. You started talking about promo codes here.
Should do that, right? Like, running promo codes on the websites or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if they have a website. Is it finished?
It's not me.
Shit. No. Oh, yeah. Take that off.
I think we're going to change the number one
right now. Number one. Number one.
For the skin. Going, yeah, we want skin and blood.
I don't know what he's doing over there. He's got a hot towel.
You realize like thugs have a giggle.
What's going on here? You ready? Awesome. Should we get like a, yeah, should we take a picture of the hair? Take a photo. Yeah, of course. We should take a photo of the hair too. It's a brief. It ain't hard to tell. Yeah, are you in the end? It ain't hard to tell.
In your trunk, turn the bass up. Not stories by Aesop. Place your loot up, parties I shoot up. Nines to analyze, drop a jewel. Inhale from the L, school of fool well. You feel it like well, ain't hard to tell. I kick a skill like Shaquille, holds a pill. Vocabulary spills, I'm ill. Plus manic, I freak a beat, slam it like Iron Sheik. Jam like a tech with correct techniques. So analyze me, surprise me, but can't magnetize me. Scanning while you're planning ways to sabotage me. I leave a froze like heroin in your nose. Nines can rock well, it ain't hard to tell. The rap don't click, I spit rhymes like I'm sick, dying lost in a pit. The only way I can't escape is by vocals. Verbalizing stripes, stabbing ears like a knife or like the prophet of the gutter. Lyrics are silk, mega butter. I flow, never stutter. Clever, poetic brothers on a mission. Dissing all who perps the fraud. Scrams, listen to what the experts record. Burn your pitted pads, mics you need not. Well, I'll be packing like a roster in a weed spot. Hitting your hearts like a hollow tip. Verbally ill and minds manipulated. My raps are nickel plated. I illustrated, X-rated. Then move out, Nas the parlayer. Takes you on a new route. It's suicide poetry released from a cell. With immense clientele, I excel. It ain't hard to tell. It ain't hard, it ain't hard to tell. Express like Shakespeare, the blocks cape fear. Drop metaphors when the brakes clear. My mic check is life or death, breathing a sniper's breath. I exhale the yellow smoke of Buddha through righteous steps. Deep like the shining, sparkle like a diamond. Sneak a Uzi on the island in my army jacket. Lyman hit the earth like a comet evasion. Nas is like the aphrodisiac agent, half man, half amazing. And in my physical, I'll express through song. Delete stress like Motrin, extend strong. Drink my wet with Medusa, give us shotguns in hell. From the spliff that I lift and inhale, it ain't hard to tell.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.